We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to another live edition of the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. What's up, Jack? How you feeling?
I'm cured, Nick. I'm somehow cured. The Nets have cured me.
You got cured with a win over the Magic, 114-110. Second win over the Magic within a week, five straight for the Nets. They're riding that confidence right now, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, confidence is everything when it comes to sport, Nicholas. And just another great win. We've got the wood over the Orlando Magic, so everything is coming up daisies.
Yeah, 26-23, three games over 500, continuing that momentum. Before we dig deeper into the game, just quick reminder, check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, YouTube, and NetsRepublic.com. But Jack, this was a big game by Spencer Dinwiddie. We both kind of predicted that going in, and the Nets were going to win, and he came up for us.
Yeah, Spencer was doing his thing. Really set the standard. His aggression, his body control is just something else. Like, he can just hang. He just like levitates, it feels like, and can still make the baskets. He's a master. And you know, it was nice to see D'Lo as well going off at the same time. Both of them were really impactful. And I think at the same time, you know, when they're out on the floor together, you could just see the Nets were playing better basketball when those two were out there. So I think the wheels are starting to turn. The chemistry's starting to really pick up. And Spencer, we expected a big one for him, and we spoke it into existence.
Yeah, and you mentioned that in-between game, and I think that's something he really worked on, where he's almost not getting completely to the rim. It's not almost a floater, but he almost shoots it as he's coming down, which is extremely difficult. And Orlando really had no answer for him in the third and fourth quarter. He was just attacking the rim at ease and getting to the free throw line. 8 free throw attempts tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty crazy. I mean, we sort of expected from Spencer when he's at his best. Hit a couple of nice three balls as well, but Spencer was just awesome. I just love his reaction. He just knows when, he knows the angles, he knows how to contort his body. He's got great strength, and he's always got like his hand in the air after it. Like, he's either saying like "and one," or it's just I'm a big fan of Spence, and we all are, and he continues to do great things.
And talking about swag and confidence, Jack, going into these late game situations, are you starting to feel confident now, or there's still some stress?
I mean, I felt rather calm considering past instances where the Nets have been, you know, in such situations. Obviously, there's going to be an element of stress, but I didn't feel the elevated heart rate like I have the last few days due to the high fever levels and the 38-degree heat down here in Melbourne. But I think it grows with just the confidence and the sort of control and maturity that we've seen from this Nets team over the past few weeks. I think towards the end of the game, it was like 9 of 13 in games decided by 3 points or less. And I mean, that was a crucial storyline last season where the Nets were on the other end of last season, 2017-18. So for us to be on the other end of that shows, you know, a real mature team and a playoff team.
And it shows they kind of learned off their mistakes. You know, a lot of talk in the offseason between us and a lot of other Nets podcasts and beat writers and whatnot is, you know, how are they going to bounce back from those close games they lost last year? And now they really early in the season, they still struggled a bit, but now they're building that confidence. They're getting used to it. And they're kind of, they've done it both ways. They've had the lead going late into the game where they've been down a little bit and able to come back. So it's just like you said, Jack, I was pretty low stress considering what happened. You know, I would have liked if Rodion's hit that free throw so I could have relaxed a little bit more. But still, you know, this team is starting to really build something this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be moments along the way. And I felt relatively confident with Rodion sitting to the line, but then you fast forward a couple of plays and D'Lo heads to the line. And he just absolutely nails them. Clutch, ice in his veins. We expect that from our boy. And for those playing along at home, 5 free throws, not too bad. In relation to that, there's obviously a wider conversation. I know D'Lo barely averages 2 free throws. In fact, he's not even there. But I think, you know, he can easily get up to 3. And for comparison, just, I didn't want to put it on Twitter or anything because I don't want to spark a debate or anything. But Kyrie Irving is only averaging 3.5 per night. And this season, well, like near a career low. So I think that it's an easy area of growth for D'Angelo. I think he just needs to learn, probably have a few lessons from Spencer, you know, have a few one-on-one coaching lessons. But that's obviously a wider conversation. But great win tonight, and he hit his free throws.
Yeah, and I think one thing he could do, because he has such a great fake game, when he gets somebody into the air, just kind of jump into him. You know, you're going to get that call a lot in the NBA, especially when you're inside. So I think that's an easy way for him to kind of get those free throws up. We saw early in the game, Evan Fournier was really crowding him at the line. He took advantage, kind of got pulled a little James Harden and got 3 free throw attempts real easy like that. It's just the small things too, especially because he didn't start this game necessarily hot. I think he was 3-10 at halftime, finished 9-21 for D'Lo. So overall, it's nice to see him bounce back when he doesn't necessarily start hot and still have a big game. Oh, he flirted with a triple-double tonight, too. 25 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds.
Just casually. just gonna flirt with it. Our boy is a very slick operator. James of Flatbush Nicholas has put out some, not necessarily troubling news, but some disappointing news in relation to Rondae Hollis-Jefferson with the shoulder injury. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, just you feel bad for Rondae. It just feels like every game he's coming back, starting to try to find a rhythm. Next thing you know, it's just a little injury. And it seems like something's bad luck. Maybe he's coming back too soon or his body's overcompensating. It's almost like the Nets should sit him out for like a month and a half or like a half a month or something and just kind of let him get 100%. Because right now, and I thought one thing that really almost was an example of Rondae's season, where he had the opportunity for that big dunk in the first half and he barely scraped it in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, not necessarily in terms of health. I think his health isn't before, obviously, the it looked like a, what they call, you know, a sort of stinger where, you know, yeah. It wasn't necessarily a dislocation or it was just one of those sort of I can't necessarily. We need our boy Matt Nguyen to explain what the stinger is, OTGBasketball.com right there. But I think his health hasn't been bad. I think he just his role has been diminished due to the, you know, improved play from a guy like Trevion Graham. It'll be interesting to see when he comes back, how long, what the prognosis is. It was a left shoulder strain, as a lot of medical staffs like to be, as vague as possible. But not a good night for NBA injuries. Prayers up as well to Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, for sure, up to Oladipo. But getting back to Rondae a little bit, I think even though maybe he is like kind of getting 100% healthy, I think those things kind of linger. It kind of impacts your conditioning. And like we always talk about, it's such a rhythm game. And he's so out of rhythm, not only with his own game, but so out of rhythm with the entire Nets team because they're having such success and he's been in and out of the lineup and they've been doing it without him. So he doesn't really know his role. And sometimes it feels like he's forcing it or not doing enough. So it's just, he's just in a really bad situation, especially on a contract year.
Yeah, I mean, it's timing is everything when it comes to this bloody league. And obviously, the timing right now couldn't have come at a worse time for Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. But if he doesn't get any offers going forward, I could easily see, you know, the Brooklyn Nets bringing him back on some sort of offer. I'm not sure. I need to delve a little bit further in terms of the contract situation, the qualifying offer and such. But he's a heart and soul guy of this Brooklyn Nets organization, and he is one of the best teammates going around, and he's just beloved. So, I mean, he's grown with his organization in terms of the rebuild. So we wish him well, and we hope he's back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and you brought up, obviously, this is getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but I could see a situation where the Nets are able to retain him for a very cheap deal or a very team-friendly deal where maybe even they have a team option on the next year, because there is some skill there. It's just kind of developing a little bit more. Obviously, he's not the youngest guy, but there is still potential. Talking about a veteran on this team who's been really stepping up in the fourth quarter in a lot of these late-game situations, doesn't necessarily get the credit he probably deserves. Damari Carroll had a big three tonight. He also has been huge with the help defense, just digging down in certain situations and helping with the scouting report. So another big performance from Carroll.
Damari's clutch, bro. 19 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, and 6 of 13 from the field, 3 of 7 from the three-point line, and 4 of 6 from the free throw line. The dude just knows how to make the right play. And there was a point where I think it was when, you know, you do the defense for offense sort of subs, and Trebion came in for Damari Carroll, and I was just like, what's going on here? Why would Damari get subbed out for any reason? No, I think that he's become one of the most important players for the Nets in all situations, and he continues to prove that fact with performances like this.
Yeah, it's basketball IQ defensively too. It's not even necessarily his on-ball defense. It's just a team defense is something that really sticks out. And talking about someone drawing free throws, it feels like Damari has done a great job. His entire tension with the Nets, just getting to the line. Soon as the defender reach a little bit, just doing that, what they call the caroling, and he gets 6 free throws tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this little ways where you just learn what the refs don't like to see, how you can draw contact, how you can move your body around contorted in certain ways to draw the contact from defenders. And that's generally can get sent into the line 2 or 3 times. That leads to 2 to 6 free throw opportunities quite easily. Not going to lead to 15 like a James Harden, but those are the sort of little hints. And we know that Damari Carroll has a very, very strong relationship with D'Angelo Russell. So there's little things that, you know, in the off season. I'm not a big guy for in season improvements, like, you know, with Ben Simmons trying to do the long range jumpers and such. But in the off season, I think, you know, D'Angelo can have some areas of focus, and Damari and Spencer can help him with that.
For sure. And Jack, who do you want to talk about next, forward or guard wise, Rodions or Joe Harris? Do I even have to ask? Or
I mean, how many podcasts are we allowed to do just that are Joe Harris centric?
You can do as many as you want on your own, Jack. I'll sit out a couple of those because they might get a little too romantic. But
just give me the login details for the YouTube, bro. I'll do them live. I'll interact. I'll just speak about Joe Harris for hours on end.
But talking Joe, I thought he had a really crucial play in this game, and this took a lot of cojones, was stepping in there and taking that charge on Nikola Vucevic.
Would you be able to stand in front of a 7-foot man, Nicholas, and let him just run into you and fall down?
It's a very good question. I'd have to be in this situation, Jack. You're putting me on the spot right now. I think maybe I could do it, but I would have to be hopefully Joe Harris's size at least. You know, he's got a couple inches and a couple pounds on me.
I mean, you've got a wedding coming up, I'm sure. You're sacrificing your body for such occasions. But Joe Harris is tough, man. And I think that this is just what, if you don't know Joe Harris and you just see the three balls, you get caught up in the fact that, you know, he might just be a Kyle Korver, JJ Redick type. And those guys also are more complete players than just their perimeter shooting. And Joe Harris is as well. You know, he's not the best defender in the world. He's not the best driver in the world, but he does it, and he does it well, and he does it the right amount of times. He's above average, and he just does all the right things. And this just proves why I love him and why I will always and continue to love him. It's just, it's crucial. It's game-winning plays.
He's just fundamentally sound in so many different ways, and I think that's just a great way to describe him. Also, we've seen him improve his passing, a couple of wraparound passes to Jared Allen here and there. So, and also, I felt like this is a game Orlando did this the previous matchup too. They gave him a lot of attention on the perimeter. Very rarely do we see him get wide-open looks at three.
Yeah, I mean, when you are one of the best three-point shooters in the league, you shouldn't. And the Orlando Magic, we talked about in the fact that they're a well-coached team. Steve Clifford is one of the best in the league at it. He knows how to do the homework on the opposing teams. And, you know, you want to keep Joe Harris away from the open looks. He had one real open look from tonight, and he made it. Everything else was contested, and he still was able to put up 13 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. 5 of 10 from the field. You know, the 3-ball wasn't falling, 1 of 4 from the field, but he was hitting some nice mid-ranges. And I think that the team just works so well cohesively. They don't really care about what shots they're getting, who's getting them. at what time. It just seems like there's a real rhythm with the team right now.
Yeah, a lot of great ball moving guys passing up good shots for great shots. And I just love the energy Joe brings to the offense, especially not having a guy like Allen Crabbe, who's great off ball movement too. Having both those guys hopefully in the future will give them a nice boost. Moving on, the Rodeons, this was kind of a hot and cold game, you know, probably more hot than cold. You know, he had the 13 points, great drive into the rim, you know, a couple good defensive deflections, but he did get into foul trouble in this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's gonna happen when you are a rookie. I mean, we can't use the rookie excuse for too much longer, but we can because he's still a rookie. But Jaren Jackson is one of a guy who's probably a victim of this as well. He fouls far too frequently, but he is a very, very capable defender. You know, nigh on pushing into the elite category. Rodeons isn't in that mark by any stretch of the imagination, but he does some very good things on the defensive end. You know, he disrupts things for the opposing defenses, and you know, he loves to get his hands there, and he's just quick. Like, the dude is quick, you know. I mean, we all talk about the long strides, the athleticism, but it comes down to it. The dude's fast.
Yeah, he is quick, and also he does a great job. As soon as he gets one step, is putting his body in a position where the defender can't block the shot. You know, either that's a finger roll, a scoop layup, or something. Even that one play that really stuck out was that transition play on Aaron Gordon, where he just got to the rim on him. And, you know, Gordon's a superior athlete, but Rodeons just did a great job positioning himself to lay that in with no block.
Yeah, Gordon's probably got like 20, 30 pounds on him as well. And you could see it was a contest. Aaron Gordon, sizable athlete, very fit, very thick, and Rodeons is sort of the first things I remarked seeing him out there. Man, he's just thin, and like coming from me, but he just knows what to do. He just knows, and that requires, you know, real intelligence to just know how to finish at the basket, and it's one of his signature moves. He just knows he knows the angles around the rim. He knows how to move his body, and he's a great player for us.
Yeah, it's going to be fun watching him develop over the rest of the course of the season. Talking about the other 20-year-old on the team, Jared Allen still had a positive impact in this game, but offensively wasn't necessarily one of his best games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one area in the offseason where Jared can really improve. I think his passing has gotten better, but I think he needs to be a better finisher. He needs to be a better finisher around the rim, whether that's just through, you know, through strength or just through just different plays, you know, being able to dribble and finish through contact. But he is rebounding like a madman. He's just taken on Ed Davis and just like, you know, it's the Spider-Man meme. They're pointing at each other and it's like the same thing. They're just rebounding insanely, you know, 11 rebounds, 4 offensive. He's doing great things when it comes on the glass, and that really sets the tone for the team.
Yeah, and you can sense a more aggressive attack when the rebounds are out there, where he's really focusing on trying to grab as many boards as possible. Where in the past, I think there's been times where he kind of just lets it fall to him. Now he's kind of attacking the boards. And I think he can be even better, especially with his length, his vertical. He can get up there and grab some boards. And like you said, offensively, he needs to work on his game. One thing he needs to work on, I think, is just being a little bit more patient. You know, a couple times in this game, he caught the pass and he just rushed up the shot, you know, either off balance or just a bad angle.
Yeah, I think that comes with, you know, just being able to – he's got confidence in a lot of areas in his game, but he just doesn't look confident when it comes to having the ball in his hands and finishing a play, unless it's in the pick and roll or in a nifty little pass down low where, you know, if he's given the ball 5 feet out, he needs to make a dribble or post someone up, then unless he has, you know, plenty of leverage or plenty of space, then I'm not too confident in him. But I think that progression and development can come. He's still, again, like you mentioned, 20 years old.
Yeah, so I'm not concerned about that. But, Jack, do you want to touch on Trevion Graham and Shabazz a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, Trevion, just one thing I just love about him in terms of his one-on-one defense, obviously he's become probably the premier defender for the Nets right now, is just he just looks really quick and active with his feet. In his lateral quickness and his just ability to just move from side to side. And I think, you know, straight line quickness, we talked about like a guy like Rodeon's courts, but in terms of being able to defend, you need to be able to move your body and move your feet with some real pace. And I think Trevion does that, and he's got some real strength about him. You know, he's like 6'5", and he's guarding, you know, a guy like Aaron Gordon, who's 6'9", 6'10 plus. You know, if you're giving up 5 inches against the guy, that's like, you know, Jared Allen guarding, you know, D'Angelo Russell or something along those lines. It's pretty insane that a guy, I think Trevion Graham is around the same size as guys like Spencer Dinwiddie. So it's pretty amazing the defensive acumen that he has.
Yeah, it's just that he just always is willing to put in effort and energy. And like you said, you know, height-wise, he doesn't necessarily have it, but he has that girth. He has that muscle. He just looks like a tough dude. And I said this early in the preseason, early in the season, we saw him for like one or two games. It looks like he kind of enjoys boxing people out and dealing with people in the post. Like, he likes banging around.
Yeah, he looks really comfortable, obviously, there. And in terms of offensively, yeah, 5 points or whatever, but I feel more confident when I see the ball in his hands these days, you know, whether it's putting up a three ball or whatever it might be. He did get one of three from the field, from the perimeter, so I'm a lot more confident when he has the ball in his hands, whereas, you know, when we were sort of having our doubts about him, it's like, you know, get the ball out of his hands, you know, kick it out to someone else. But I feel confident in Trevor to making plays.
Yeah, as long as he can just knock down a few threes here and there, he doesn't have to be a lights-out shooter just to kind of keep the defense honest. Also, the nice thing I see him developing is, like we talked about in the last couple shows, driving to the rim with that almost in-between, kind of like a floater, but it's like a line drive floater type of thing. You saw him working with one of the Nets assistant coaches before the game too. So I'm sure he's going to pick it up a little bit offensively, getting more confident. Shabazz, you know, always bringing that energy, doing that small things off the bench. He had a couple plays in there where he got deflections, got a couple fouls called on Orlando. He typically just does his thing.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about in the pregame pod the fact that Kenneth Faried wasn't able to buy into his reduced role or, you know, lack of role, but Shabazz has. And Shabazz has been the consummate professional, you know, funnily enough, a former Magic guard at that as well. But he was just able to, you know, when he's out there, he just does the right things, you know. Doesn't need to get a heap of shots, but, you know, he just provides intangible energy. And, you know, it feels like he just impacts well. You know, plus six, you know, in his 12 minutes, that's all we need from him.
Yeah, exactly. Jack, now moving on from the players a little bit, unless there's somebody else you want to touch on.
I mean, we could talk about all of them, Nick, but I'm pretty good.
Okay, moving on to just the overall team. I thought this was a nice win in the sense that the Nets weren't hot from three, only 10 of 32, but they still found a way to win this game.
Yeah, I was talking, again, referencing to the pregame, the fact that the Nets were able to get this win, I think is going to go under the radar in some of their winning streaks and stretches because, you know, in terms of how motivated the Magic were, like, this is a win they need to sort of keep their playoffs hopes alive. And the Nets, obviously, on this hot streak, you know, in terms of who wants it more, in terms of, you know, the carrot at the end that's dangling there, the Nets sort of obviously needed to solidify their status, but the Magic need it because they need to keep their playoff hopes alive. So, for me, it shows how far they have come. You know, we're obviously going to always reference to the growth that this team has shown. But they continue to grow.
Yeah, they do. And like we talked about, this is like a low-key big win, beating the same team, something you're going to have to do in the playoffs. You know, not saying they're going to win a playoff series, but it's kind of a practice and a thing you want to get used to, a habit you want to build. And the Nets gained some ground tonight, two games ahead of Charlotte. Miami lost, so 2.5 games ahead of them. So the Nets continue to kind of build off in the playoff standings.
Yeah, you got to bank these wins when they happen, Nick, obviously. There's going to be tough matchups heading now and then, and there's going to be maybe some unexpected losses here and there. So, you know, you've got to get the ones that matter, and hopefully there's enough in reserve by the end of the season that the Nets finish with one of those playoff seeds. But it's going to be a dogfight.
That's a great point, Jack, that they need to rack up these wins, especially when they're at home. A big road trip coming up in February, and it's going to be tough. I know they play a majority of the post-All-Star break games on the road. So winning these games is very big. Just taking care of business on a regular basis is something, you know, we didn't necessarily expect to see this team do. Now they're already at that level.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how things can quickly change in a matter of, you know, games and months and days and weeks. But that's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the NBA. And it's the Nets have just been on an absolute tear, and they continue to do great things on and off the court.
Yeah, Jack, any other thoughts about Nets Orlando, or you want to just quickly talk about the Knicks game coming up on Friday?
Oh, I'll continue to reiterate that I think that this will go down as, you know, just another notch under the cap. But I think that this win rates as highly for me as any in terms of the streak. A very, very, very nice win for the Nets.
Yeah, and you could tell Orlando really, really wanted to win this game. Right from the start, they played with some good energy, some good fight, and the Nets were kind of able to battle through. And like we said, those late-game experiences are really helping them win these games. Now, talking Friday against the Knicks, do you think this is a trap game? Obviously, the Knicks have been terrible, one of the worst teams in the NBA this year, but obviously they like to bring some energy against Brooklyn.
My Lord, it's a trap game, Nick. Oh, man, it's trapped like to the levels of Travis Scott. I can't overestimate how much of a trap game it is. You know, I think James Harden, are they beating the
they Rockets beat the Knicks, yeah. James Harden, new career high, 61 points.
Yep, so that was cool. But, you know, Ntilikina, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, Nets Republic has joined forces with the Knicks film school as well. So, I mean, we've got friends in Knicks land, but at the same time, it doesn't mean we want to lose to them in any stretch or form of the imagination. But they always find a way to lift their game against us. You know, D'Lo has mentioned in the past that these are the games that, you know, we talked about banking wins. We should be banking these ones, you know. Have a night off, you know, you're at home, sleep in your own bed. You don't want to have some big performances from your guys and, you know, just do the same thing.
Yeah, and I think the Knicks team, they play hard and they play with good energy and they're young. You don't want to let them get confidence early, so it's going to be important to come out in this game on Friday and have a big first quarter and kind of put them down.
Yeah, you want to get off to a good start and, you know, really put the pedal to the metal and sort of just go bang. And, you know, put them, you know, the Nets are, you know, a 6th seed. The Knicks are the 14th or 15th seed off the top of my head, so... You know, when you talk about the discrepancy between these two teams, the Nets are, you know, and this isn't, you know, any hyperbolic take, they're streets ahead, to quote Community, of this Knicks team.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Jack, and it's just something they got to do and take care of. And obviously, they're being in the borough right there in Manhattan. It's going to be a little something extra for both squads. But Jack, did you want to touch on Torian Prince and the possibility you think if the Nets have any interest in him? Obviously, yeah. The reports came out that the Hawks are open to listening calls.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Marks is surely on the phones, isn't he, Nick?
Yeah, he listens to everything.
I mean, he's just probably on that many conference calls. Like, if Sean Marks doesn't own at least 5 pairs of AirPods, then I would be surprised. He's probably got a pair of Barclays, a pair for his, like, his limo driver. He's probably got a pair for the private jet. He's got those AirPods fully charged and on point, you know, in every form and setting. But I think Torian Prince would be a nice place filler and a nice sort of young piece as well. I don't think that he's, you know, that much of an upgrade over a guy like Rodion Skuritz right now. But I think, you know, he's a guy you can build with. And I think he's under cost control as well, being a young piece at the same time. And I think that Brian Fonseca mentioned the fact that, you know, if you look at the Denver Nuggets pick, which would be probably around 25 to 30, and you look at the Knicks pick, which will probably be 30 to 35 in terms of their second rounder, there's not much that much of a difference with it. So you could probably offer one of those up in a deal or some sort of package, whether you want to trade a Rondé in that as well in terms of to get some salary off. I'm not sure if Sean Marks would be open to that, but it's certainly intriguing. But I think somebody would be willing to offer a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if, you know, they're desperate and they want to move him, they're just trying to get some type of asset. Nets could definitely, you know, throw that Denver pick at him, like Brian brought up on Twitter. He also spent some time with the Long Island Nets a little bit too. So the Nets have an idea what type of player he is. He is a little bit older than you probably assume. He's 24, turning 25. But like you mentioned, Jack, 2.5 mil this year, 3.4 mil next year, and then a restricted free agent. So you kind of do control him. And he doesn't necessarily seem, he's not going to be a star player, but he seems like a role guy that could have a role on a championship type team.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets have depth, and if you want to add, you can plug in a guy like Torian Prince. And I think one thing they do lack in a sense is quality wing depth. I think, you know, Torian Prince, Damarin Carroll, you know, I think that he could be a nice mentor for him as well. And I think if, you know, a prototype going forward is in terms of a replacement for when Damari's deal is going to expire. I'm not saying that he's going to leave. If anything, the Nets could even offer him a nice little cheap deal for him to stick around. But I think that you could do worse than getting a guy like Torian Prince.
Yeah, he would fit the role on a team that we don't necessarily have in that, like, 3-and-D athletic type, good body size, can play a little bit of the four as well. So it'd be an interesting thing. We brought up a name like Jaylen Brown before. Obviously, that's less likely. Prince is a guy who's been known to be on the market, so something to keep an eye on. Any other trade thoughts before we get out of here, Jack?
I mean, there'll be plenty popping up in the next few days, Nick. And what are we, like, 17, 18 days in the trade marathon, and we're continuing to put out content? The writers at OTG are just doing work.
They're grinding. They've been having their juice, Jack. They've been having their juice.
They've been having their Florida OJ and their Jamba Juice. And we should get a juice sponsorship for the Brooklyn Buzz. If there are any Jamba Juice owners or franchise owners or any other Smoothie King or the Smoothie King Center, I mean, there's things that are in the works in New Orleans. Maybe they need, you know, to divert their sponsorship from the Smoothie King Center and head down the Brooklyn Buzzway.
Get some New York listeners for you. Also, we got Robex. There's all different types of things. So any type of juice sponsorship, we'd be more than open to. But Jack, any final thoughts on the Nets?
Smoothie King presents the Brooklyn Buzz. I like it too.
As always, it's a pleasure talking Nets with you, Jack. Pleasure for everybody listening in. And check us out, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Dash Radio, and YouTube.